This is Dan Gamber of Metalhawk Press, publisher of this year's Philip K. Dick award-winning Terminal Mind by David Walton, and you're listening to 7 Star Podcast.
This is Maurice Broaddus, author of Orgy of Souls and Devil's Marionette and the upcoming Knights of Breton Court series, and you're listening to the 7 Star Podcast.
Again, straight from oblivion, the devil's calling from the bottom of a shot glass. My liquid requiem, awakened full of sin and toxic visions, haunt me at the end of night. Said, who are you to ask me to wash my dreams away? Who am I to beg you for another day?
Hey, this is horror author Michael West. You can find me at buymichaelwest.com, but you don't have to find Steven Zimmer. You're listening to him on the 7 Star Podcast.
Yes, indeed. It is your host, Steven Zimmer, with the 7 Star Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and you will notice that we have a few more author tags, as we always want to highlight authors, and we do suggest that the ones that you hear in our show, please do check them out. There's some fantastic individuals out there, and we're trying to help you find a few more. And today's guest is definitely another exceptional author, one that I actually am very, very excited to bring you. His name is David Blaylock, and I first met David last spring at the Mid-South Con in Memphis, Tennessee. And the Sagely Fellow is an outstanding writer, and I loved his book, Ascendant. Well, no pun intended, but he's definitely going to be ascending the ranks of the fantasy world in the not-so-distant future. And today's show, we're actually going to go a little bit deeper into his world, which actually focuses on the Atlantean archipelago. It's a fantasy world that features everything from a Byzantine-like grouping of various family houses to he's even got several non-human races, the Kel, the Telmet, the Verni, and it's got a lot of neat things. Even, and I won't give away too much of a spoiler, but even you folks that like the undead, he's got something for you too in this book, Ascendant. And it is the first of a series from Sam's Dot Publishing. So we're going to be getting to visit with David in a moment. And again, we also want to credit our music in the beginning and end. Thanks to the band Zero King with some music from their new single, Black Friday. We like to keep things pretty high energy here on the 7th Star Podcast, which you can always find at 7thstarpress.blogspot.com. 7thstarpress.blogspot.com, and you can also find it on iTunes. And we do encourage you to visit the blog site, because we do also interviews and reviews. And check out our last one with Jackie Gamber and Red Heart. And it's really, really great, great book. And so check that one out. That was our most recent one. But we alternate interviews and reviews with the podcast. And so check it all out and discover some great new authors. So we're going to be getting David here on the phone after a second here. And, you know, enjoy our author tags. And we'll be back with you in a second.
Hi, this is Jackie Gamber, author of Red Heart. And you're listening to 7th Star Podcast.
Hi, this is author Nick Brown from werewolfforhire.com, and you're listening to the 7th Star Press Podcast.
Okay, so on the phone, it is my honor to present to the audience my good friend and author David Blaylock. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you very much, Stephen. I appreciate you having me, and I enjoy being able to talk to your people.
Well, I just absolutely loved your book, Ascendant. I mean, I think it's kicks off a great, great fantasy series. We're definitely going to be putting a full review of it up on the Seventh Star Press blog and interview series in the very near future. But I wanted to kind of go into a little bit about you and you as a writer and a little bit about your background to give the audience a little bit of idea about a few things. So probably the first question is, who are your influences as a writer?
Well, the main influence as a young man starting out writing was Robert Heinlein, of course, being one of the classic science fiction authors. I was very much a science fiction fan from the very beginning, and began reading Heinlein at the tender age of 12. He was one of the more formative authors. Of course, there were people like A.E. Van Vogt, Jack Vance, Jack Williamson, Edmund Hamilton. These early on, these gentlemen had magnificent ideas and forward-looking concepts that I thought were just fascinating, and I was hoping to be able someday to be able to put words to paper in the way that they did that, and look forward to a writing career when eventually I could afford to do so, and that's what I'm looking forward to now.
Well, I know now that you know you're making some great strides with your career, but your work has actually been in development and percolating for quite a while, as far as the whole development and scope of your fantasy world. And give us a picture as to when you actually first started with the whole world that's eventually has become Ascendant.
Well, the idea for the Islands of Adelantis began in a series of lucid dreams in the 1970s and came first to paper early in 1974 with the book called Spell and Blade, which has disappeared into the vast nothingness of past. However, the story stayed with me, and over the years it developed into a continuing world that built itself from foundation to superstructure, and eventually popped out in a set of six books that appeared several years ago from BookLocker, self-published books that you can still probably find links to on the net, that related the story from beginning to end. And it's a very complex dimension spanning story that was difficult for me to explain on paper in just a few words, so I had to stretch it out over several books.
And of course, now with Ascendant, it's gotten to a point where, you've got some of the earlier stuff combined into the current release, right?
That's correct. Ascendant is actually a rewrite of the first three books that were originally published. I was able, over the years, I've become a better editor of my own work and have been able to better write the ideas that I wanted to express. And so by taking the original manuscripts and reworking and editing them down to something more coherent, I was able to produce the manuscript called Ascendant, which Samsdot brought out this last March.
And as far as Samsdot, which actually was probably my next question, when did you or Tyree come into contact with each other, and will they be working with you on the next installment in the series?
Well, I actually met Tyree at a convention. He was hawking his books behind the Samsdot Publications table, and Samsdot publishes quite a few titles, science fiction, horror, fantasy. Not just books, they also publish magazines and poetry chap books and a little bit of everything there. They are a large public publishing house out of Cedar Rapids, and he had a very large table at this convention, and I approached him and asked him if he was looking for a new fantasy title, because I didn't see any fantasy titles on his table. He said, well, we don't normally take fantasy titles, and then I explained the thing to him, and I gave him a couple of the books that I had self-published for him to review. He liked them, and he said that he wanted to look at something similar to that, preferably something rewritten. So I rewrote the first three books for him, gave him Ascendant. He liked it. He put it out. I've just delivered Emperor, the second in the series, to him at this last Imagicopter event, gave him the manuscript for that, and he is now looking at that for consideration for publication.
And so if we can look a little bit ahead, do you have a game plan for how many installments there will be in the entire series, or is that still not determined yet?
Well, they're all standalone books. One thing I find a little annoying about series is that if an author starts a series and he dies before he can finish it, a la Robert Jordan and The Wheel of Time, you leave your readers kind of hanging in the lurch. So each of these titles is going to be standalone: Ascendant, Emperor, and finally Deity. Deity will be a brand new book in the series. It's not, will carry forward parts of the story that had not been, I didn't think, properly expanded, and will be expanded and hopefully be entertaining for the reader. So there'll be three in the series, but they'll all be standalone books, each with their own separate story.
All right. Well, let's hope that with Jordan, at least, the Gathering Storm will hopefully satisfy the fans that are still, you know, waiting for the completion of that series. But let's get into the meat of yours. One of the things that struck me was the Byzantine-like relationships between houses. It kind of reminded me of some of the dynamics when reading, you know, some of the big epic series like Dune or even George R.R. Martin's Westeros with the kingdoms there. And is that an aspect that you have a lot of interest in?
Absolutely. I'm a student of history, especially ancient histories, and in order to build the structure behind Ascendant, I borrowed a lot of the ideas from the Eastern societies, houses, warlords, these kind of things, feudal societies that stretched well into the 1000 AD and 1500 ADs before they disappeared. The whole idea being that when you have those kind of structures, you have built-in conflict. It's easy to build a conflict between two houses because they have similar goals, and you can relate stories through those conflicts, and the intrigues, the political intrigues, is also fascinating to me, and being a student of history, I wanted to include that also as an entertainment value in the stories. And the underlying story arc about the interdimensional being who is a threat to the entirety of reality itself, the deer, and the fight against it by the Verni, the pre-human race that existed on Earth, is supposed to be, it will bring the fantasy element more to the forefront in the coming books, I believe.
And actually, you touched on what I was going to lead right into, swirling around the dynamics of these houses and complicating things even further is the fact that you do have several non-human races. And one thing that you've done, I think that's really, you know, taken a risk of sorts. It's kind of like what D.A. Adams did in his Brotherhood of Dwarves series. You've taken some races that are conventional and have a very definite image among fantasy readers. Things like, you know, an elven-like race and a dwarven-like race. And in your book, they're called the Kel and the Telmet. And, you know, you've also got, like I said, some very unique races like the Verni. And of course, I love the Kentaur, and I'm waiting for a action figure or poster or one of those guys. But with the races, let's stick with the ones that are maybe a little bit more conventional to fantasy readers. What made you decide to use a race that a lot of people have, races that have people have preconceived notions of, and how in your mind did you make them distinctive within your particular work?
I chose the Kel and the Telmet basically because they were more or less a stereotypical type of relationship to fantasy. They're not really based on the elf and the dwarf ideas. They're based on different biological patterns. However, it's easy to see how those biological patterns can be mistaken for elves and dwarves because physically they are the same. The Kel, as an arboreal people, are associated with elves, and by doing that, I was able to give the fantasy reader somebody to relate to who they liked, somebody who they could latch onto as the good guy. The Telmet, as a boring species or in a subterranean species, also related to as the dwarf, gave also the fantasy audience the chance to see somebody that they could like if they wanted to or could identify with and see as a heroic species, a species who would fight to the death, as it were. Both of these patterns were something that I needed to use to work into the story, and it was convenient to take the patterns I originally designed for them and to adapt them more towards the dwarf and more towards the elf to help the fantasy reader that would be the audience more closely associate with the story.
And now let's switch to the Verini. How did you come about creating those guys, and can you give us some insights into your thoughts about them?
Well, the Verini are the successors to the great dinosaurs. They were the evolved species from the dinosaur. After the Great Cometary Fall, they became the preeminent species on Earth after their great cousins died off. However, they were the only indigenous life on Earth at the point when the deer comes in from the other dimension and changes things. And so they basically have first call on who owns the world and who owns this reality. They are, and if you want to really look at it, they're kind of like the reptilians that you hear people talk about. They live underground. They're eventually going to come back and take over the world kind of thing. I thought that that would be an interesting way of introducing the idea of the interdimensional traveler and the way that he wants to change reality. And having somebody who has a coldly, unfeeling, unhuman feeling way of looking at how to defend that. And the reasons that they defend it could be or could not be understandable to us as a race.
And then the Kentaur, which actually are one of my favorite creatures. Let's take a look at them, too.
The Kentaur actually are similar in physical being to great six-legged cats. They're about between 10 and 15 feet long. They have stand about 20 hands tall. They are of a rudimentary intelligence species, similar in intelligence to whales or dolphins, if you will. And it's hard to say that they're rudimentary in intelligence. It's just that their intelligence is different from our understanding. They live and work with the Kel, and they have kind of a symbiotic relationship between the two. They enjoy travel. They enjoy adventure. And they are fearless fighters, typical of the feline species. They have no fear. So the Kentaur are an interesting addition to the Kel idea of the elf riding the cat, if you will.
With all of this epic stuff and epic battles and all these races and everything happening on Adelantis, you even have this whole world almost like the kind of almost like sometimes it feels like the backwater of a much larger empire. So let's set the context of the even bigger picture around Adelantis.
Well, Adelantis is the southernmost island of the Atlantean chain. Shortly before the cataclysm that sank Atlantis, there were approximately 16 islands, and the major island being Atlas, where Atlantis was the capital. Ogygia, where the main military activity went on for the imperial armies. Adelantis is the southernmost tip of the archipelago, one of the closest to the mainland, kind of a bridge between the mainland and the archipelago. It's a lot of traffic from the mainland, a lot of traffic from the archipelago, a lot of pirates that run back and forth through the straits between the islands and the mainland. So you get a lot of movement through the islands, and there is an imperial presence on the island called the Tilesar. The Tilesar is a priestly class that their sole purpose for being on Adelantis is to maintain imperial power. And they basically keep everybody under their foot, except for the university in Adelantis' capital of Morkai. There is a university there, which is a neutral ground, kind of a Switzerland, if you will, of the island. And they basically control all the houses through leverage of an office called the Ascendancy. And that's what the book is about. Who is the Ascendant is who is the preeminent power on the island. out.
And often they rise from one of the jarls of the various houses. And for our readers, or our listeners, I should say, jarls is kind of a Scandinavian term that more or less refers to a chieftain. So there in Memphis, does your family refer to you as the Jarl of House Blaylock?
No, I don't think so. But you're right. I mean, it is the warlord's name, basically. It's his title. And Ascendant is about the Jarl of House Thran, and his name is Andalarn. He is attempting to stabilize things after returning to the island after his house had been exiled for 400 years for one of his ancestors helping non-human races against another human house.
And with that story, too, of the early part of the story, I mean, you kicked things off with a massive epic battle. Was that the plan for getting the reader hooked?
Well, yes. I have to admit, that's true. You always want to start out with something that catches somebody's interest, and what better way to do it than to have a huge battle at the very beginning. But it was critical at that point in time to introduce the reader to the fact that Thran was a fair-minded individual who did not see injustice kindly. He wanted to make sure that the non-human races as well as the human races were treated with justice. And for that, he received exile to the mainland, him and his house, for 400 years.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the things that hooked me from the beginning, was that you got things underway very quickly with the action, and definitely kind of set the character tone right away. I thought you did a really, really good job with that. I know folks are dying now to read the book, so give us some areas where they can get some copies of this.
Well, right now it's available through Sam's Dot Publications online at www.genremall.com, and you could go to the Sam's Dot, SAMSDOT Publications.com, and find it there listed under their fiction. Also, you can go to my website at Thrankeep, Thrankeep.com, and there's a link to it there.
And as far as finding you personally, you might as well throw out a few links for, as far as your social networking sites and things like that.
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, MySpace. You can find on Filed By, Red Room, LinkedIn, and, of course, my website, Thrankeep.com. All those will have links to my work. And Thrankeep.com has a link to my other works besides Ascendant. I have multiple short story works at print magazines, online magazines, stretching back to the early 1990s. And I would advise anybody who wants to find out anything about my short writings to go to find your copy of Eclectic Dreams, which can be bought online either on Amazon.com, or they can get it off of my website.
One thing that people may not know is that you have an air traffic control background prior to becoming a full-time writer. And so does that experience, is that what helps you to guide the flights of the Imagicopter?
Well, I have to admit it has had a significant influence on the structure of Imagicopter website, that's for sure. I was an air traffic controller for over 25 years, and that time period gave me the chance to realize that there's no way that you can actually control your life except by taking control of your life. So when I retired, I decided it was time to do what I had always wanted to do and set out to do it. And Imagicopter is one of the things that I think is an up-and-coming way to help all small press authors and artists to find some form of promotion and some audience out there without having to hire a publicist for thousands of dollars a year or a month. Because not everybody has deep pockets like that. And I think Imagicopter is one way that we can help each other with strength through numbers.
So how have your appearances, you just kicked off one with Imagicopter, and then I know you also maintain a appearance schedule by yourself at conventions and so forth. How have the appearances gone this year so far for you?
They've been very good. The Imagicopter launch on August 22nd at Davis Kid Books in time. There was a really good crowd. Davis Kid, of course, is a magnificent venue. The people are extremely friendly, very efficient. They did a great job for us. And as far as the people that we're approaching for venues in the future, we have had nothing but positive feedback from them. We have venues coming up in Hernando, Mississippi, Nashville, Tennessee, Jackson, Mississippi, and Hot Springs, Arkansas, working on another one in Corinth, Mississippi. So everybody is ready for this thing to happen, and M.R. Williamson up here and Jennifer Mulhill down Jackson, Mississippi, are working very hard for a Magic Copter, and I have to give them a lot of props for the work that they're doing.
And I have to give a shout-out to one writer in particular who was involved in your premiere Magic Copter event, and that's a very special individual. It happens to be your daughter, who is also a writer.
That's right. Erica Raymer has her premier short story in Kerlak Publications' Dragon Composed Anthology, which you can get off their website. And we're very proud of her. She's been off and on wanting to get something published for a while, and I'm very proud of her getting that publication. And she's looking forward, hopefully, to getting a publication in their new anthology coming out. They have a WTF anthology coming out shortly from Kerlak Publications, which I also have a submission into, and have my fingers crossed to see what Mark Fitzgerald has in store for me.
Well, Dragons Composed is an excellent collection, so I was really excited to see that Erica was in there, and so hopefully we'll be seeing a lot more out of her, too. So for now, is there anything else that you'd like to cover with our listeners?
Well, I'd like to invite everybody to come out to the Magic Copter events to visit with our writers and our artists. The events are posted on magiccopter.com. It's imagicopter.com. Make sure that you check all of the events on the sidebar. Come to the ones that you can come to and come out and see the people, talk to them, buy the books, get an autograph. We will really enjoy to see as many people as we can. Also, I'm looking forward to seeing your work, Stephen. I know you have a horror film coming out shortly, or you're working on a horror film at this time, and I'm looking forward to some more of your work. I did enjoy a great deal. I enjoyed Shadows, Light, and Sirens. So I'm looking forward to that, too. And I am sure that someday, Imagicopter, which now has 19 writers and two artists in the list, since it started since June, I'm sure that someday Imagicopter will be so big that we're going to need your help out there, Stephen, to hold it down over there in that Lexington area.
Well, actually, we're looking for that because not a lot of people, well, maybe a few people do know that. I come from Lexington, Kentucky, and Jason Sizemore of Apex Publications is also located here in Lexington. So I know I've talked to him, and the two of us are definitely looking forward to the day when a Magicopter heads up this way. I can tell you that for sure.
We look forward to it, too.
Well, David, thank you very, very much. I think we're about at the end of the show here, so I'd just like to thank you for taking your time out and talking to us.
Well, I enjoyed it. I hope we can do it again.
We'll have you soon, and don't forget, we'll be having the full review of Ascendant along with a print interview on the blog site very, very shortly. So thanks, David. You take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
So there you go, fantasy fans, the distinguished and eminent H. David Blaylock with his book Ascendant, which I recommend that everybody that likes fantasy should go out and buy right now so that we can show the world that there are listeners to the 7th Star Press podcast. So thank you very much for joining us, and we'll be back at you very, very shortly with another great guest, and we'll certainly be having David back to join us and in the near future, hopefully. And we definitely appreciate the work that he's doing with the Magicopter, and I know that we're definitely going to be looking for some great things with what he's doing with that as well. So join us again in the future, and you can always find us at 7thstarpress.blogspot.com or on iTunes. So we're going to go out with the same energy that we came in with. So after another little author announcement, we'll kick it out with some more Zero King off their song Black Friday. So take it easy and keep up the great reading, and we'll catch you next time.
Hi, this is Mike D'Ambrosio, the author of the Fractured Time Trilogy and Space Frontiers series. You're listening to the 7th Star Podcast.
This is Jason Sizemore with Apex Publications. and you're listening to the Seventh Star Podcast. And hey, visit apexbookcompany.com after the show for more fantastic science fiction, fantasy, and horror. I did it once again. I let you pull me in.